I Love Sport podcast. Paul, the host today, just by myself, looking at the weekend of sport. Got the gather round in Adelaide. NRL obviously started on Thursday as well. English Premier League well and surely back in swing with 7 and 8 games to go because of the split rounds, Champions League and so forth, international breaks. So we'll start with the AFL to start with. And as we said, we've already had some games in this round. We started out on Thursday night with the Crows taking on Melbourne, and Melbourne in control for much of the game, winning 10-18-78 to 8-15-63. Might sound inaccurate, but there was a lot of rush points, a lot of shots close to goal that were punched through as well. Melbourne in control for large parts of this game. Adelaide trying to make a late run at it. You know, it was just really interesting, as people said, like, you know, near the end of the game, Dawson sitting on the bench for 5 minutes for Adelaide, one of their, you know, better users of the ball. But Petrarca and Gorn, absolutely fantastic. Petrarca with 29 possessions, kicked a goal, 5 tackles, just, you know, absolutely great game. A lot of Adelaide players got a lot of the ball. You know, the guys like Crouch with 30 possessions, Smith with 27, Saligo with 27, but Melbourne were in control of this ball, moving the ball very well. Van Rooyen continuing his good run with a couple goals there as well. Kasiah Pickett kicking a couple, but he's going to miss a week. He's got to get out of this habit of taking his feet off the ground and contacting. Melbourne off to a brilliant start this season. They've won 4 of their games, and then we've got Adelaide, who've not won a game. A lot of people thinking they'd go on from last year and go a lot better, but they've got players, and it always happens, and you know, he's been a fantastic footballer for Adelaide, but you've got to question Taylor Walker. Can he get to the ball anymore? He really struggled. But fantastic start for Melbourne, winning against Port last week, staying in Adelaide, and then beating Adelaide this week, 2 away wins. Really funny kickoff yesterday, or first bounce, and 2 really funny scores actually as well. Brisbane Lions getting their season started at least with a comprehensive win over North, who just all could rattle us. Brisbane got off to a good start, and you could tell from the first few minutes that North were never going to get into this game. Brisbane 16-16. Once again, they're just so inaccurate. They won this game by 70 points, but it could have been 100 odd. North Melbourne 6-6-42. Brisbane just looked, you know, right back on their game. Danaher kicking 5-4, could have kicked 7 or 8. Dunkley with 30 possessions was fantastic. McCluggage 36, but not only was McCluggage's 36 possessions brilliant, but he just ripped them apart. Zorko had one of his better games in a long, long time. Oscar McInerney just continues to impress in the ruck there. I mean, you know, this guy was struggling at the moment. A couple issues for Brisbane that they'd be hoping are only minor, with Bailey and Neil going off injured. Hipwood kicked 3 goals. He's been under the pump this year, so he really needed that. For North Melbourne, Sheasel tried his guts out. You know, got a lot of possessions under pressure, but look, they're just a team. You can see what they're trying to do, so I don't want to put them down. I really see what North are trying to do. Move the ball, get a bit of pace into it, but just under, you know, just undermanned yesterday in terms of just the bodies, the stars, and a good win for Brisbane. The late night game, almost the same score. So Brizzy won 112-42. Port Adelaide won 111-42. Good win for Port, and you know, people wondering if Port is going to be any good this year. 3 out of 4 wins. They just continue to surprise. Essendon just so disappointing. You know, I really picked that Essendon would have a far better year. You know, they're 2 wins, 2 losses, so it's not a horrendous start, but they just, the way they lost the game last night. You know, 26-12. Merritt having a great game as always. Just such a good player for Essendon. But Rosie, you know, Horn Francis, what a pickup. I know that he was at North, and we know he was number one draft pick. Butters going on doing what he needs to do. But, you know, Rosie with 36 possessions and 3 goals. If that's not 3 Brownlow votes. Finlayson, with three goals as well. Darcy Byrne-Jones with three goals and Rioli with three. So they really had a good mix across the board. And, you know, for Essendon, geez, it's a worry. I mean, Jade Gresham kicked three. But beside that, you know, they just barely got the ball. Anyway, Essendon, I'm not sure where they're going this year. Could they make finals? They still could. But just such a disappointing effort. Beaten there by 69 points. This Saturday, starting pretty early. I mean, I'm in Brizzy, so 12:30. We've got Eagles taking on the Swans. Swans, after a really surprise loss to my Richmond last week, they will pump the Eagles. So that's at Mount Barker, actually, where they played last year. Not these teams, but, you know, they played a game out there. 20 past three, so it's a football feast, isn't it, really? 20 past three, Fremantle and Carlton at Adelaide Oval. And if you stay on and do the double header, you've then got the Dogs taking on the Cats. Freo taking on... Look, chance for Freo. But, you know, you'd think Carlton would win that. And Doggies and Geelong, that is a flip of the coin, that game. Then tomorrow we've got the Suns taking on the Giants and Tigers taking on the Saints and Hawthorne, Collingwood. So, you know, I'd expect the Giants, the Saints and the Pies to win those three. So that's a bit of the AFL wrap at the moment. Obviously, with people playing different at different times. Melbourne played four wins and a loss. Giants have only played three so far with three wins. Port Adelaide, four games for three wins and a draw. So it's a little bit all over the place with the that opening round, putting things, you know, a little bit all over the place as well. NRL, as it has done early on in the year, started on Thursday night as well. Really great game, that. I mean, I'm a Storm fan. I don't know how we actually won it, but... it was a lot of attack from the back, wasn't it? Like, to teams, the Broncos and the Storm, sorry, I should have said, 34-32 to the Storm. Broncos, you know, being in charge of that game, then the Storm coming back, and then Storm leading well, the Broncos coming back. It went right to the wire. But a lot of attack happened from defence, so, you know, defending on their own goal line and then making those breakaways. Absolutely brilliant game at Amy Park. 34-32 to start the round. Two teams... that'll be right there. Coates continuing on. So there were six try scorers for the Storm, and in five try scorers, they're all individual try scorers. Reynolds going off injured meant Katoni Staggs had to take the goal kicking duties. Just an absolutely fantastic game there. Possession was pretty even. The yards, Storm almost 200 more yards. Kicking meters was where, until, you know, Broncos were doing really well and pinning them back. Tackles were pretty even. So, I mean, when you've got a 34-32 scoreline, you're going to expect that. Bulldogs, really big win in this one over the Roosters, who a lot of people have thought that the Roosters, this is the early Friday game, a lot of people thinking the Roosters are going to have a big year. Big win by the Bulldogs, 30-26, the early game on Friday. And once again, two games where no multiple goal scorers, but a good game there as well. And for the Bulldogs, it's just a bit of, takes a fair bit of pressure off. And for the Roosters, it's a game they probably would have expected to win. The Knights, 30 over the Dragons, 10. Two average teams and a very average game. This was over pretty early. The early game, Saturday, 2 o'clock, is the Rabbitohs against the Warriors. Rabbitohs, just such a disappointing season. The Warriors need to get themselves back on track there. Oh, geez, who wins this? I don't know. It's going to be the team, I know it sounds silly, yes, it's going to be a team that scores more points, but it's actually going to be the team that makes the least mistakes, because both these teams are mistake-ridden. Sea Eagles taking on the Panthers, man. Panthers, wow, are they just one of the great teams in Australian sport ever? They have to be right there. It's a tougher game than people think, but I think the Panthers will get up there. Dolphins in the 6:30 game against the resurgent Tigers, and it's good to see them with two wins in a row. Dolphins will be quite heavily favoured at home at Suncorp, actually. I'm surprised... part of my stiff there, got a bit of a head cold. I'm surprised he's just played at Suncorp, but, you know, Saturday night game, 6:30, taking on the Tigers. you'd expect the Dolphins to win, but then it'll be the kind of game that they would drop as well. Tomorrow, Cowboys take on the Titans. Cowboys should win this in a canter. You know, Gold Coast Titans, where are they going? What are they doing? Do they have any support anymore? Is the Gold Coast experiment dead? I say that you have to keep the Gold Coast teams going in all sports, no matter what. One of the biggest growth areas in Australia. You'd be silly to let it go, but they just need to get some wins. They're going to get beaten tomorrow, but the way the Gold Coast are going to get fans is be consistently in finals, doing well, and they're just not going to be doing that. Raiders taking on the Eels in the final game of the round, with the Sharks having a bye. It's a good battle for the eight, this one, with the Raiders and the Eels, and you'd expect Raiders to win at home, but hey, nature of sport, you just never know. So the English Premier League, all over the place in terms of games played and so forth. You get to that funny time of year. But we have the early kickoff tonight, Crystal Palace, Man City. You'd expect Man City to win this and win this comfortably after thumping my Villa at midweek. At the moment, the latter, the top three teams have all played 30 games. And there's 3 points between the three. And goal difference is very funny, because you've got Liverpool on top on 70, 42 goal difference. Arsenal on 68, but they've got a goal difference of plus six over Liverpool. And then Man City has the worst of the goal difference, and they're on 67 points. Then fighting for fourth and fifth, more than likely to be both spots for England, with what they call the coefficient. So the better your team's doing all the cups, Europa Conference, Europa, Champions League, the better your teams do in all of those gives you more spots. So the Champions League is not set that each country has a certain amount. It changes based on how well you've done that year in competitions for the following season. So very likely that Villa and Tottenham will make the Champions League, because you've got Villa in fourth, having played a game more than Tottenham. So Villa on 59, Tottenham on 57. Then you've got United, who've played 30 games, so one less than Villa. They're 11 points off Villa and 9 points off Tottenham. Now, only 8 games to go, and also goal difference significant. I mean, Man United are 18 goals behind Villa in goal difference and 19 behind Tottenham. Then down to West Ham on 45. So the top five, I'm not saying it's locked in, but it'd be hard to see Man United getting above Tottenham and Villa. But let's go back just yesterday for a reason. Liverpool beating Sheffield United, pretty standard, even though it was a tough game from 3-1. And Chelsea Man United has to be game of the year. I mean, couldn't believe it yesterday, because I saw the first half, had to go to work, and was talking to my dad as I was driving to work. Yes, hands-free, through Bluetooth, so all good. United down 2-0, Gallagher and Palmer. What a player Palmer is, my goodness. Chelsea might be having some ordinary times, but they've got something in Palmer. So they're up 2-0. And then Garnacho, and Fernandez scoring and equalising at half-time 2-2. 67th minute, Garancho scores another. 3-2 up at 67 minute mark. Go into extra time, it is 11 minutes or 10 minutes added on. And then it all happens. So a penalty converted by Palmer in the 100th minute. United go forward in attack. Ball's turned over. Chelsea get a corner. And Palmer scores the winner, a hat-trick. I mean, I saw ratings for him in the game. It was 9.8. I'm like, what do you have to do to get a 10? You score two goals in the final minute. Now, just for those who love stats and history stuff, that is the latest conceded winner in the Premier League history. So, Man United, that was a massive chance. And, you know, they win that because in extra time with 2 minutes to go there, they would be on 51 points, 6 points behind Tottenham in the chase for Champions League, and they would have been 8 points behind Villa with a game in hand. But that... they've gone from, you know, 3 points to 1 point to no points in no time. So absolute tragedy for Man U. You can hear in my voice, I'm very upset for them indeed. So tonight, kickoff midnight, depending on where you are, 1 o'clock in other places. I'm in Queensland, so I'm not going to try and convert it for you. You can do your own thing. Villa take on Brentford at Villa Park, which it's still been a fortress in the last year or two. Unbelievable game for... I think Villa will get the 3 points there. Got some troops returning, including the best goalkeeper in the world, Emi Martinez. Everton taking on Burnley, what a game that is, you know, with potentially further sanctions for Everton. But Everton can put a massive gap on the teams below them. They've got a game in hand on Forest, Luton and Burnley. So if they can beat Burnley, they're looking safe, depending on what else happens with points. Fulham take on Newcastle at Craven Cottage. Luton taking on Bournemouth. And once again, what ramifications in this game as well. So Luton, who've really started to get the wobbles now with seven games to go, they must get something out. Must get something out of this game. In fact, they need to win at home. I think they will. Wolves taking on West Ham. Always a tough game that there'll be goals in it. And then Brighton in the late kickoff, taking on Arsenal. Brighton, to me, you know, everyone loves Brighton. And to me, they've been one of the disappointing teams of the year. So they're not having a horrendous season. They're in ninth or above Chelsea, just below Newcastle, for example. But they are so far away from, you know, challenging for the Champions League. So they've just had one of those kind of middling seasons there as well. And Arsenal, the thing is, it's a tough game, isn't it? Because it's Brighton. I mean, when we say they have nothing to lose, every game you got something to lose. But this is the kind of banana peel that previously I would have said Arsenal could be in trouble in this. I just think they've got so much belief. They've only had 4 losses in 30, 21 wins. Scoring for fun, they've scored the most goals in the comp, so I think they'll back themselves to get this. And yeah, I think they will. So it's played at the American Express Stadium. God, you know, names of stadiums these days. I like the ground though. I actually like the ground itself. So yeah, I think this is the one Arsenal need to win. Then we've got the Monday morning games. Man U, Liverpool, no matter where teams are in the table, these games are always fantastic, and they're always giving their all. Sheffield United take on Chelsea, and then Tottenham take on a very disappointing Nottingham Forest. And that, for me, there's a couple very important games there. Man United, I'd love to see them just stay away from us in terms of the chase. And Forest, geez, at least try and get a draw, guys, because Tottenham will go above us, potentially, with that win. No, because if we get a win, it's a game in hand, though, that Tottenham have. So that's the Premier League for this weekend. Been a fantastic season, and there's only, you know, 7 or 8 games to go. Could we see 3 teams on the last day playing for a chance to win the Prem? I think that would be absolutely amazing. Yes, there are other football competitions in the world. So, you know, in terms of the Bundesliga at the moment, the mighty Bayern Munich are not going to win the title. Dortmund are not going to win the title. Leipzig are not going to win the title. Stuttgart are not going to win the title. It's going to be Bayer Leverkusen. This is going to be one of the great seasons. They are 13 points clear of Bayern, 16 points clear of Stuttgart, 20 points clear of Dortmund. All those 4 spots are automatic Champions League spots. Bayer Leverkusen, wow, just unbelievable. Their last 5 games, they've won in a row. They are just absolutely on fire. Their squad, I mean, their coach is someone that has been touted to be the next Liverpool coach, and that's Xabi Alonso. And he said, what a performance he's doing. He's going to win the Bundesliga. He's going to have them playing in the Champions League again. And, the you know, some of the players in this team, not many people would know a lot of them. I mean, you got Xhaka, and you've got Muns, and you've got Frimpong, and you've got players like that. But it's just a great squad. It's even. It's just got players who are playing for each other. And what a fantastic coaching performance by Xabi there. In the Serie A, we'll go to the French, Ligue 1. So in Ligue 1, I don't think anyone will be too surprised about where this one's at the moment. but it's PSG, 12 points clear of Brest and Lille, 13 points clear of Lille. So there's three spots for the Champions League for Ligue 1 at the moment. And what a boring competition that is at the moment. But, you know, not a ton of goals coming from a lot of the teams beside PSG. It really is a low-scoring league at the moment. And PSG, 24 goal difference on second and 12 points. Just boring. Boring in terms of, if you watch the gameplay, it's not fantastic at the moment. And having a team win this every year, the same team, boring as well. Serie A, another competition already over. Inter Milan, 14 points clear and 36 goal difference. 36 goal difference over second. Now, they've played 30 games. They have conceded 14 goals for the whole season. So less than half a goal a game. They have scored 73 goals. They've scored 16 more goals than Milan in second. I mean, that's just an absolutely dominant performance. So Liga 1 over, Bundesliga over, Serie A over. So three of the biggest competitions in the world are already done. That to me is just absolutely out of this world. Just putting it into perspective, you know, I know a lot of people love competitions from around the world. I do too. We don't get to see as much as it. And look, even La Liga, which has always been a really good comp, unfortunately, realistically dominated by two teams for many, many years, with a couple surprises like Atletico winning and different things like that. But 8 points clear, Real Madrid over Barcelona. So it's not over, but I mean, I suppose I'm just comparing it to the Premier League. We're talking four of the La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, and Liga 1. They're all basically over with a few, you know, seven or eight games to go. It's just out of this world what we're, you know, getting in the Premier League. Then you go to the next competition, which is Championship in England. Unbelievable. So two teams get promoted and then four teams are in the playoffs. And it's been a brilliant season for Leeds. I mean, they have really bounced back and been on a magical run. So Ipswich on top, it could be the same thing as the Premier League. We've got Ipswich on top on 87 points. Leeds in second on 86. And then we've got Leicester, who've played a game less, on 85. Those three teams are 11 points clear of Southampton and then 16 points clear, or even more than that, sorry. 17 points clear of West Brom. Still a massive chase for the sixth spot, but Norwich are 4 points clear there. So the actual battle for the playoff places there is getting settled. But the top three, that is any of those top three, could become the automatic two qualification spots. Or not qualifications, straight up to the promotion into the Prem. Ipswich, Leeds and Leicester. What an amazing run it is. We've got Ipswich playing Norwich away to Norwich. It's going to be a tough game. Norwich in sixth. Leeds are playing Coventry. Now, Coventry fighting for a spot. They've got a game in hand to catch Norwich. They're 4 points behind them to get a playoff spot. So Leeds have a tough away game there as well. In fact, I apologise, guys, Leeds take on Blackburn next week as well. But this week, yeah, they've got that tough game away. So the Championship, same as the Prem, and it goes to show the strength of English football in that regards at the moment. A lot of teams doing really well in England. So that is football for you. At the moment in the golf, we have the Texas Open. And golf's just, I think, you know, people can say what they want about Liv, but it's really reinvigorated people's desire to follow golf again. So we've got Bardia on 11 under at the moment. This is live in the second round. He is 5 shots clear of Henley. Then Todd and McCarthy. Rory McIlroy is 6 shots off the lead. He's finished his round. So since San Antonio, total prize pool $9 million. The leaderboard dominated by Americans, as you'd expect in a US PGA tournament. The best of the Australians is Adam Scott at the moment on 2 under. Still got a few holes to go, so could make a bit of time up there. And the player who's really had a good few years has to be Aaron Baddeley. Really doing well. He's tied for 17th. He's, in the last few years, he's been really consistently earning there as well. The Major League Baseball season has opening day and quite a few games in has taken off. My team is absolutely horrendous at the moment. I'm a New York Mets fan. We are 1-5, but it's a long, long season. At the moment, as we speak, with the standings, how it works with the different divisions, NL East, Atlanta are on top. And this NL East, Miami haven't won a game. The only team with a winning record is Atlanta at 3-2. If we go to the NL Central, we've got Pittsburgh 6-1, Milwaukee 4-1, and every team in that record either has a winning record or equals St. Louis, who are bottom of 4-4. Dodgers doing what we expected they would do. They are 7-3. We go to the American League. The Yankees 6-2. Boston with a game in hand are 5-2. So there'll be a really good clash there. In the AL Central, Detroit 6-1, Cleveland at 6-2, already starting to move away there. AL West, the Angels and the Texans are 4-2. So a lot of games to go, and they play a lot of games back to back and through the week. I love it. I love when they do double headers as well. Going to be rarer and rarer, but you know, who's going to win that? It's going to be a long way off. It's all about that. Not wanting to get a wild card, you want straight in here. NBA is getting close to the finals now. With the, I just think it's ridiculous, the play-in tournament, but that's just me. I think you either make the finals or you don't. It's just an extra jump for money. And it's part of those reasons that teams are just getting annoyed. This morning, for me, importantly, my New York Knicks have been pretty ordinary, take on the Bulls. And that's one of the games of notes. Thunder taking on the Pacers, what a season they're having as well. Magic taking on the Hornets. Celtics taking on the Kings today. Celtics 60-16. What a season they've had. So in the standings as we speak, in the East, it is Boston 60-16, 13 games clear of Milwaukee in second. Wow. Okay. So the teams that are guaranteed the postseason, Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Orlando, New York, and Indiana. And then we'll have the play-in tournament. Miami, Philly, Chicago, and Atlanta at the moment. They will be. The playoff. In the West, the battle for the top seed is between three teams. It's amazing. And then it's going to be Minnesota, Denver, or Oklahoma City. One game between the three of them. Oklahoma dropping a couple games. The play-in tournament goes down to Clippers, Dallas, Phoenix. The postseason. Clippers, Dallas, Phoenix. And then the play-in, Phoenix will be there. Then we've got the Kings, LA Lakers, and Golden State Warriors trying to get into the play-in tournaments. Lakers, 3 wins in a row. Golden State, 6 wins in a row. Look like they'll be in the play-in tournament, but I bloody hate the play-in tournament. We'll see, you know. But look, hey, my team's in the playoffs, so I'm a happy camper there. We will get back on the Love Sport podcast with John and Pete in the next few days. I will do a weekend wrap as well. I hope your team does really well this weekend, unless they're playing Richmond. Storm beat the Broncos, so I'm a happy boy there. Hope that Villa wins for me, and any team that you follow, good luck. Love Sport podcast out.